News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton at FM Talk 1065 807. It is Mobile Mornings on this Friday. Looking ahead to the weekend, we continue on with the Sweet 16. Well, no, you can't say that. Now, after tonight, it'll be down to the Elite Eight.
Yeah.
So I'm talking about the Sweet 16, but the Sweet 16's already been chopped up from last night.
It's now the, what rhymes with 12?
Is it 12 left?
With four that have advanced last night and then eight that are still in for tonight. Yeah. So I'll have to come up with something catchy for the NCAA to use going forward. But, yeah, and we're talking a little bit about it with Alec there, and we'll get into some news, trust me. I know some of you are like, come on with the sports. Come on. This isn't an important weekend in sports. The fact that Auburn and Alabama could potentially play for the national championship.
Well, when you watch that game last night, you're like, it could certainly happen.
Yeah.
Alabama does have that next one up is
Duke. A tough one.
And I think what they're going to see from Duke is a lot, watch my lips, BYU, a lot better defense. Now, they're great shooters. I get it. But they scored 113 points last night.
You know, Duke puts those big boys out there on the edges.
Yeah.
They put Cooper Flagg with his hand in your face while you're trying to shoot threes. That's a little different than what BYU was doing last night.
They were, you know, I get it. That's not BYU's skill set necessarily, but terrible job. Once they're, I don't know. Well, when they're hitting all those threes, you've got to put a hand in their face.
The thing about Bama is if the three is being shut down or if they're not hitting. Now, if they're not hitting, that's a different story entirely. But once they can drive in and Sears can get to the board and some of these other great players like our own LeBaron Filon from Mobile, they can get to the boards, they can put up some points if the threes aren't falling. But Duke, they're favored currently in the early number there, 6.5 point favorites according to ESPN now for that game on Saturday night.
How could you watch that game last night and not call it even? Because if Alabama plays like that, again, I don't think they'll be able to because of the superior defense that they'll see against Duke. But, man, did they make some shots. Record, right?
Yeah, hit 25 threes. The record was 22. The NBA record, where they play eight more games and each player has an extra foul to give, was 29. So they were four off from the NBA record. Now, they weren't playing an NBA defense, of course.
No.
But some NBA defenses look poor.
Look like that, too.
Yeah, they do. Just for your knowledge, if you're rooting for that SEC Final Four, you'll have Ole Miss, Michigan State tonight. And Michigan State, I was wrong about that earlier. Wrote it down wrong. The 2 seed is favored over the Rebels by 3.5 points. Auburn's favored by 8.5 over Michigan. So if you saw Auburn and Ole Miss win, they would meet in the Elite Eight. That would guarantee a Final Four spot.
Yep.
You have Texas Tech playing Florida. That was almost Arkansas playing Florida.
I know.
And so if Florida advances there, you could have a Florida versus either Auburn or Ole Miss Final Four game. And then on the other side with Bama taking on Duke, you also have tonight Tennessee playing Kentucky. So one will move on, one will fall. And then the other game there is Houston-Purdue. So you would need to either see Kentucky or Tennessee advance to the Final Four and play Bama, and then Auburn or Ole Miss to the Final Four to play Florida if they advance past Texas Tech. And if that happens, has there ever been a conference that has had four? I don't think so.
No.
I would just guess no.
No. No way. So that would be something. And they were saying all year, SEC's best league. And in the end, it might prove out to be true.
And quickly, it could happen in the women's, too. You have South Carolina, LSU tonight, Ole Miss tonight. Tomorrow, Tennessee plays Texas, and then Oklahoma against UConn. So a great time to be in the Southeastern Conference.
Flooding the brackets there. What do you think about AI? Well, Bill Gates has got some thoughts.
Oh, boy.
We'll share those with you as we go along this hour. We can get to this right now if you want. Donald Trump talking about, he's talked and talked about these sanctuary cities, but now he's doing more definitive talk about them. He says that he's probably soon going to actually, by executive order, what do you think that's going to do? Executive order. I mean,
it's going to go to the courts immediately.
Yeah,
it always does. But sanctuary cities are breaking federal law.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it.
Exactly. So I think the courts, you would think, would be on his side, unless Boasberg shows up again.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is Trump talking about shutting down sanctuary cities here.
We're going to end sanctuary cities for some of these jurisdictions that aren't cooperating with law enforcement. They're guarding criminals. They're taking the rights away from the citizens of this state and their city. And we're going to be ending sanctuary cities if we find it necessary to do in certain major areas. And we may just end the entire thing altogether because it's just a way of protecting criminals.
That's something. So you don't see any Republican areas with sanctuary cities in them. They're all Democrat-run cities. And he's talking here, and I think we already know all this, but just to kind of lay it out, here's the role that elected Democrat officials are having on our nation.
And for some reason, Democrats want to keep and they want to shield criminals from being sent back to their countries or being sent to prison. And in the meantime, the crime rate has gone through the roof under Biden. It was through the roof. It's starting to come down, but we're taking a lot of people out of here. So we may be presenting you very shortly with a executive order ending sanctuary cities.
So they end the sanctuary city. Trying to think exactly what all this means. All those people will have to be rounded up, I guess, at that point. Is that right?
Well, I mean, there are illegals in places that aren't sanctuary cities. I think in order to end the sanctuary cities, you'd have to start prosecuting the people who are allowing it to happen, even if they're American citizens.
Yeah.
They're the ones also breaking the law. So I'm not sure exactly what step-by-step they'd go through to do that, because haven't they already paused funding to these cities?
I think so. New York
City immigration goes.
Yeah.
So I don't know exactly what that would entail, but the executive orders he's put out to this point have had some teeth in them.
Yeah,
I imagine this would as well.
I just don't understand.
Until Boesberg turns the corner.
Here comes a boogeyman again. I just don't understand exactly why some of these Democrat elected officials are doing what they're doing. Michelle Wu. Boston, right? So he's been to Boston already.
And there have been massive roundups in Boston.
Right. So this is before all that happened. This is Holman, the czar, talking about Boston, I'm coming. Now, he's been there, but this was earlier this month.
The police commissioner of Boston, you said you doubled down on not helping the law enforcement officers of ICE. I'm coming to Boston. I'm bringing hell with me.
He brought the hell with him. 380 U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement arrests, 380 in Beantown. Sorry, what does Michelle Wu have to say about that? I don't know. Many of them, members of MS-13, Trende Aragua, and some other known gangs. So this update comes as Democrats continue to go all in, trying to, I don't know. It feels like it's a goal line stand in a way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know exactly what their idea is or their strategy or what they're thinking. Actually.
Yeah, and we've seen the national polls that show Americans, I think at this point, fairly overwhelmingly against any form of illegal immigration. As far as those actual cities, I'd like to see those numbers. They're probably further blue, which would make sense. But our own blue darling in the state, AL.com, well, I'll let you wrap, because I know you have some more home.
This is Holman talking about, they got 380 arrests.
Mm-hmm.
Who were they? And when you hear who they were or are, you would have to agree with the process.
I looked at the numbers this morning. I stopped counting at nine. Nine child rapists that were in jail in Massachusetts, but rather than honoring an ICE detainer, released them back into the street. You're not a police commissioner. Take that badge off your chest. Put it in the desk drawer. Because you became a politician, you forgot what it's like to be a cop.
That's strong.
Yeah. So shortly thereafter, they went to Boston and they won decisively.
Wow. So I was mentioning that AL.com, they put this story out yesterday, and it was in reference to a viral video. I apologize, get a little frog in the throat here. So a viral video, we've been talking about some of these immigration roundups in Baldwin County, and it seems there's more going on in Baldwin County than the rest of the state. Probably, I would say, because Baldwin County is a red dang area. There's a lot of Republicans, and there's a lot of construction. So we all know that these have been going on, but this, I don't know where this guy is from. After I check to make sure there's no FCC banned words in it, because I listened to it last night, but not with a close enough ear to whether he cusses or not. This video goes viral, and it's showing this worker as they were making their rounds, ICE and probably some of the local officials, local law enforcement over there, it says the worker videoed on a roof in Spanish Fort is a heroic figure to some, as local officials in South Alabama say they plan to assist in increased deportations and arrest. The image of a construction worker went viral online after he apparently spent 6 hours on the roof of a building and evaded arrest by federal immigration officials. They say there's no public data on the number of U.S. ICE arrests in the state since Trump took office, but Mobile County Sheriff Paul Birch has said his office will help ICE in any way we can. You have Nathan Harris, and so this is a Birmingham-based immigration attorney who spoke with AL.com. I see a lot more going on definitely down there in Baldwin County, he's talking about. Mm-hmm. I'm hearing that from the community, from our clients, and we're not hearing that so much in Montgomery or Birmingham. Well, what's the difference there? In Montgomery and Birmingham, you have liberal mayors and much more liberal constituency than you do in Baldwin County. They also spoke with an immigration attorney in Mobile, AL.com did, Robert Rohn. Said he's heard about more men arrested on job sites in the area. Now, they say Roan is a Trump supporter in the article, but he said he typically hears from girlfriends or wives after an arrest, and he feels, quote, some of the immigration stuff has gone a little overboard. Their wife or their girlfriend or baby mama or whoever is calling because they're worried about them, and they take care of the family, so if they're gone, everybody suffers. That's the words from the immigration attorney they spoke with here at AL.com. But this guy, it's kind of... You know, we see all these, this Tesla terrorism, and I know it's not apples to apples, it's apples to oranges here, but both things are illegal. Mm-hmm. And the left has found a way to excuse everything as long as it suits their interest. Right. We talk about it with the sanctuary cities,
the violence,
Tesla terrorism, some of the violence. I mean, you heard them getting after that NPR CEO for her thoughts back on the Black Lives Matter protests, and she wasn't condemning them in any form or fashion. If you remember, that was the same for almost everyone on the left. We're saying, well, they're getting their point across, aren't they, as small businesses burn to the ground. You have immigration officials trying to do their job and round up people who are breaking the law. And you have this guy who's he's saying he's a hero and all this. I'll play the audio for you once I make sure he's not cussing in it. And then you have AL.com, who they don't come out as explicitly and say it, but they're like, hey, look at this little hero. They say, so he was up on the roof for 6 hours. And then I guess after, so people were trying to hand him water or things like that. And the immigration officials, according to this guy's story, said cut it out. And eventually, I guess he ran into the woods. I'm not sure if this is the greatest reporting since it's coming from this one video I'm seeing here. Maybe some of you know more about this exact situation, but I'll clean this audio up. I'll play it for you when we come back.
Okay.
Just kind of listen to the reverence in which this guy speaks of someone who is, you know, possibly, I don't know why else he would evade arrest for as long as he did, but probably maybe in the country illegally.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a hero. He's a hero to these people. And I just don't get it.
So who's the guy speaking that we're going to hear from?
He's just some viral dude. I don't know if he's some online guy.
Okay.
And he's doing this TikTok thing where he's telling the story.
I got it. Okay.
And it's, I don't know if he's from here, if he's from Boston, if he's from France. Well, he's not very French in the video. So he's commenting on this thing, and it goes ultra viral.
Got it. Okay.
And it's happening right here in our backyard. I'll play some of that audio for you here on the other
very
side.
Very interesting. Chicago, Democrat-led, and not just the... There's a lot of citizens there highly peed off about everything going on there. So he's choosing the criminals over the citizens. They all are. It's 820. Happy American Cancer Society Chili Cook-Off weekend, too. That's tomorrow, hopefully. Get it in there without interference from rain. Rain's coming in, though, at some point. We'll just see if it times out okay. 825 Dan and Dalton, 251-343-0106. If you want to call the show, you can do that. And certainly people are taking advantage of the opportunity to text us. We appreciate that.
Yeah, and a little panic over the Kaneka sausage story we had earlier. I see it on the text line. Some folks want some assurances, and we'll give you more of that story here coming up.
Okay.
Because that is maybe the number one story going right now, is moving the Kaneka plant Now, they're not moving it down to the state, but we'll get to that here in just a little bit.
37 miles, is what my sources tell me.
Yeah. Or,
or Google.
By Conecuh, I think they measure things by links up there. So 37 miles, that'd be what? About 40,000 links?
Probably.
Something like that?
Between 40 and 44,000.
Okay. That clarifies it when you're a big Conecuh fan. So talking about this video that went viral with the sanctuary city threats coming down from the Trump office. And then this story I'm referencing from AL.com, and you had Patrick Darrington and Sarah Whites Kotischek, who collaborated on this.
Right.
And they basically took this video that went viral and then added their own little reporting to it.
Yeah.
So here's this video, and it's talking about this Spanish fort raid on a construction site. And this YouTube user's name is Shay Guerrero. I don't know if he's going for the Che Guevara kind of sounding revolutionary name, but he posts this. And just listen to the reverence he speaks.
It's like commentary. It's like one of those commentary things on YouTube. Guy probably does one every day or something, right?
Yeah, probably. Here's what he had to say. And listen to the reverence he speaks with this potentially maybe illegal alien hiding out from law enforcement.
If they want to take me, let them come up for me. That is what a construction worker said to ICE agents when they tried to raid his work site. This happened in Spanish Fort, Alabama, where ICE, according to sources, were doing irregular sweeps of the area, picking up essentially anybody they saw. On this work site, they picked up 8 to 10 people, but one worker went up on the roof and refused to come down. This standoff between the ICE officials and the worker lasted for 6 hours. Now, as the story goes, people on the ground were trying to help the man on the roof by throwing him water or anything else that he may need it, but immigration officials put a stop to that, saying that if they did, they would be arrested. Now, after the long standoff, immigration officials and FBI agents who were also reported to be there called off the entire thing, and the man was able to jump off the roof, run into the woods, and get away. This was so brave, and I respect
running away is
civil
brave.
Disobedience. These raids are absolutely targeting Latinos, and he knew that if they want to come and get him, come and get him then. But he was not going to make it easy for them. Let's not make it easy for them. While I am glad that he's safe, I hope the other people who were picked up are able to get out and return to work and their families as quick as possible. And remember, to keep up with news stories like these, sign up for my newsletter.
There you go.
Yeah, so,
I think his name is Lincoln Bio. That's Lincoln Bio.
There's the commerce at the end. Make sure you hit like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I
subscribe.
And the thing is, I haven't seen any real reporting on that actual raid and that it was a 6-hour standoff or anything like that. And maybe that's the case. And if you have the exact link to that story with reporters on the ground saying what's happening, but if not, then what you have here is AL.com taking a viral video that hasn't been fleshed out like completely by a real journalist.
Yep,
you have this guy who's clearly on one side of the debate.
Yep.
So this could easily just be a myth, you know, to rally everyone behind the anti-immigration going on.
It could be. You're right, because there's nothing to substantiate any of that. It's, it's just a story that fits a narrative right now for that guy and his podcast.
So,
AL.com, evidently.
Yeah, and it's kind of a way to put a story out there that might not be a story you're actually reporting on. Mm-hmm. I just think that's interesting. Brad says they're targeting Latinos. Could it be because the Latinos are illegal immigrants? Let's see. Michael says he didn't get away. By the way, he was picked up. So, Michael, sounds like that might have actually happened. Yeah. Adam said, as far as the Conecuhs, that would be about $1.61 million links, if sausage, in million dollars. Jerry, AL.com and all the local news outlets are worthless. Anyone who believes anything they say are idiots. I have my favorites at AL.com that I think are good journalists, and certainly some of the local outlets as well. But I understand your point, and let's see. We'll get some more of these texts, a whole lot more on the way. 251-343-0106. A34 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. Underdog Fantasy. Go ahead and break out that phone. Download the app. Use the promo code Dalton, D-A-L-T-O-N. You'll be well on your way to having some good times watching sports this weekend with the March tournament continuing tonight. Auburn back in the mix, and you'd have some fun here, especially with some of these new sports that new sports seasons that have begun in baseball, and you have the winter sports continuing in the NHL and NBA. Grab your phone and make some entries on March College Basketball with Underdog. I know your bracket's been busted for some time, just like mine, and you can continue to bring the fun of a bracket to every game day by making your entries on Underdog. They've got all your favorite leagues, teams, and stars to choose from. You can create entries with all basketball selections or mix and match across other sports. You just need two players to create an entry, and then you can add more, and the more players you add to your entry, if you get them right, you can win. You could turn $1 into $1,000, for instance, just by hitting every single player in your entry. Millions of fans have already won billions making plays on Underdog. Their app shows it. It has over 100,000 five-star reviews and millions of players. Big reason for those five-star reviews is how responsive the app is and easy to open, and you can keep up with the stats in real time while you watch the game. So download the Underdog Fantasy app, sign up now using promo code Dalton, D-A-L-T-O-N. Unlock a special offer of up to $1,000 in bonus credits when you make your first deposit. Join in on the fun, sign up, promo code Dalton, claim your special offer today and get up to $1,000 in bonus credits instantly upon first deposit. You do have to be 19-plus in our state of Alabama, present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. If you're concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
Okay, so the main thing in this story out of Evergreen is you're still going to be able to it's going to be seamless, I believe.
Good sausage trip.
That you're going to be able to pick up Konecka at the grocery store, even though they're going to make a move here. So there was a headline. It got people all startled. Because they didn't quite know how to.
Well, the headline was ridiculous.
The headline was sensational. Yeah, exactly.
What was the headline?
Konecka sausage closing Konecka processing plant.
Yeah.
That was in the Evergreen Current, and they are, but they're moving like 38 miles away.
Yeah, so they're moving it to Andalusia, right?
Yeah.
And the reason behind this was, of course, in part, regulations, I believe. And they always say you don't want to. What's the saying about seeing how the sausage is made?
you really want to see how the sausage is made?
So I guess after all these regulations, they'll be like, come on in, see how the sausage is made.
Yeah, right.
It's fine. But, you know, Konecka, obviously a Alabama thing.
Yes.
It's a mainstay. Now, I've been a Monroe sausage guy, I'll say that, being from where I'm from.
Mm-hmm.
But no qualms with the Konecka sausage.
I tried Monroe for a while, and I thought it was a little too much on my belly.
Okay.
A little spicy.
Okay, but Konecka was just right, I guess.
Konecka's been great.
Yeah.
No, well, Konecka, no, anyway.
So they shifting production from Evergreen. It's in quite the sausage Taj Mahal they're building here. $58 million, 102,000-square-foot facility in Andalusia. Now, when they choose a new pope, they use the white smoke, right?
Yeah.
So I'm wondering when the new sausage plant is ready, whether we'll get, I don't know, some kind of billows coming from the sausage plant.
Well, it'll be pig burning. Just understand what the smoke's coming from.
That's right. Manager Martin Dalkey says, updated USDA rules made upgrading the old Evergreen site less practical than building a new site.
Yeah.
This was founded back in 1947. The family-owned brand will keep sausage on the shelves and plans a new gift shop in Andalusia. I guess they'd have to keep the gift shop in Evergreen.
They don't say whether they will or whether they won't.
You can't take the sausage and the gift shop.
I mean, the gift shop is right on 65. Well, the sausage place is too. So you would think that it's going to get more traffic than in Andalusia, which is not near any interstate.
So in this story here, and went back to the well. This is William Thornton at AL.com. Brave sausages here. Let's see. Once the new facility is up and running, a new gift shop similar to the one in Evergreen is planned. So I guess they'll keep it there. The Covington County site, won out over several possible construction sites in the Midwest. Can you think of that tragedy?
Yeah.
I'm hoping they mean Midwest Alabama.
I don't think they do.
United States.
I think they mean Midwest United States.
Oh, that would have been a terrible loss.
It's already bad enough
for Evergreen to lose it. So there you go. And that has a lot of people on edge, as you can imagine. I'm wondering, with them moving this in June, my first thought is June must be a down month for sausages. They're trying to plan this at a good time where they can limit the harm done to...
Have you tasted Connecticut sausage? There is no down one.
Well, I just mean as far as people buying it and production levels. But you think about it, July 4th is right around the corner.
Yep.
They are playing with fire here by doing the move in June. Can you imagine without an Independence Day where...
Connecticut is not available? I can't imagine in South Alabama an Independence Day where Connecticut is not available. I cannot. But I think that according to their manager, it's going to be all it's going to be shifted from one to the other without any any strings attached or any hiccup in production. Mm-hmm. So that's the goal. We'll see if they pull it off. And how much sausage can you make in advance that then gets refrigerated, not frozen?
Stockpile sausage.
Yeah, I don't know.
Also,
how long that time would be.
Question here for you, and maybe some of you have spent some real time in Conecuh County and not just a swinging by the sausage factory there. What is there a possibility that the sausage production smell up there has been masking maybe worse smells in the county? Are these people who've had this sausage factory there for since 1947, once the sausage goes away, are they going to go, oh my goodness, this place kind of stinks?
It's like
kind of smelly.
I didn't know this town stunk like this because it was masked by the Conecuh factory. Isn't that something? You would hope that there's nothing like that, like a almost like, you know, they did away with the paper plants here in Mobile, mm-hmm. which had that kind of broken egg smell. And then, if they leave and they go away, then we find that Mobile really smells on its own. Yeah. I think that's what you're getting at, right?
I'm a weird one. Having spent so much of my youth in Clark County, mm-hmm. in Grove Hill, and we'd smell the mills from Jackson, I kind of grew to like that, the paper, the pulp smell. Am I weird for that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I would say that it deterred some people from ever moving to Mobile back in the 60s or 70s. They had an opportunity. It was kind of offensive. I mean, so 95, it was still here. It was still, he had to contend with that odor. And then shortly thereafter, no longer the case. But it gave me pause a little bit of taking the job down here. That may sound crazy, and I'm not saying I ever really said.
Was that one of the stipulations? You said, I'll move down there. You just got to get rid of that smell.
I put my foot down. I met with Mayor Dow for hours.
Yeah.
And I said, you need to cripple an industry so I can come down here. Do you mind?
I just hope. Seriously, that they don't have really bad smells there that they're about to uncover now that the sausage plant's moving out. This is causing some issues, though. I imagine the people there not happy.
Well,
they're moving.
38 miles. Are they retaining their workers or getting a whole new workforce in Andalusia?
A lot of questions left unanswered. We'll try to get to the bottom of those.
Okay.
We'll send our sausage reporter out there on the scene. And I guess that we'll be drawing straws for that, and all of us will want to be the sausage reporter.
Yeah.
Texters, let's get to all these texts. There's plenty. Fire Dog, as we were talking about the Five Rivers Resource Center auction, my girls used to love going to Five Rivers when they were little. One year they won the Best Costume Awards during the Halloween party. Five Rivers is an absolute gem of the Mobile area. And then regarding the Sanctuary Cities, Fire Dog says these mayors and governors are trapped. If they vote to help ICE, they lose the 30% of the crazy left. I think he's talking about some of the liberal to moderate mayors in these cities. If they support criminal immigrants, they lose the 10% of independents and the 10% of the non-crazy left. Trump has blocked them into supporting these nut job policies. And then Fire Dog says, no Conecuh for July 4th. There is no God. No, I think there is a God because I think they will have Conecuh for July 4th. I'm just worried about the move coming in June, as you can understand. This texter says, I appreciate the reporting, but you better stop. You're going to cause panic buying Conecuh and a shortage just like the toilet paper shortage of 2020.
Well, it's funny you coupled up the sausage with the toilet paper, so I'll just leave it at that.
Art says, as an employee worker in Mobile for a lot of years, I always smelled the paper mills, and it smelled like money.
Yeah, that's what they would tell me.
Milo's tea is now made in Tulsa. Go figure. Oh, man, don't tell me that. Potlicker Rob, Milo's tea. We're taking all of our great Alabama creation.
Was Milo's in Alabama?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I don't know. What city was Milo's? I just know it's a big dang deal. And
that might be Birmingham.
Did Jalen, one of the athletes signed a a deal with Milo's not that long ago.
While he was at it? Oh, no, not while he was at it.
Swagger, Barry, he's throwing some arrows, slinging some arrows this morning, saying Swaggerty sausage is the best. Okay, I don't believe I've had the Swaggerty, or if I have, it wasn't notable.
I'm on it.
The left made excuses and looked the other way. This is Terry, by the way. And the Sanctuary City thing, he says... he points to a specific law, prohibits obstructing or impeding government officials, locked them up. The left made excuses and looked the other way. When people were dying during the Summer of Love, I should have told you then, no lives matter as long as they get their way. And then Terry asks, is the gift shop staying in Evergreen? I can't imagine they would do that to those fine people in Evergreen, take away the production and then also take away the gift shop. I mean, there's plenty of people who, other than just traveling through, wouldn't stop in Evergreen if it weren't for the Conecuh.
I would think that you keep the gift shop there because of its great location right on I-65. Mm-hmm. That'd be my guess, but who knows? These people are dastardly enough to move. These people have no hearts.
Texter here regarding that Spanish Fort ICE raid. That video went viral with this guy saying, how brave. Let's fight back. Texter says, it is true. It happened a few weeks ago because a legal Mexican told me about it the day after it happened and also said the concrete workers on the job site were hiding in the attic. Says you don't hear about it because local news will not report on it, just like they won't report on the Board of Education meeting about what's going on in Alberta. I only found out on 1819 News. And the Alberta thing, too. So we had that story. I think we did do a short report on it here, and it came from that 1819 News article.
Erica Thomas, probably.
I wanted to kind of make it a three big things, but then I looked, and so they're upset in Alberta, but it seems to be an issue with maybe one class or one teacher, and then it became an issue between those parents and the school superintendent, Eddie Tyler, who didn't like the way they were talking about him at this Board of Education meeting. The way it kind of came off, I thought it was like a full problem in Baldwin County schools that their children were scared to go to school because of what may happen there. I think they were alleging that bullying was being allowed to go on and things of that nature. I don't have the exact story right now.
This has got nothing to do with immigration, right? This is just...
Right, I'm sorry. Okay. He was saying local media isn't reporting on these raids just the same way they're not reporting on that Board of Education story out of Alberta.
Okay.
We're mixing a lot of stories this morning. As far as the I-65 widening, and this texter says, might be cheaper to make the third lane on 65 out of Conecuh sausage links. Texter here, the Spanish Fort thing did happen. Guy sat up there for 5+ hours. ICE pulled back and waited for him to come down and then got him. Adam said, yeah, 200,000 sausage links would be about $1.6 million. Is that accurate? I guess it could be. And the texts go on. 251-343-0106. Texter says they were giving the guy on the roof that wouldn't come down water because sooner or later he'd have to come down and pee. I think if you're up there for 5 hours, you're not coming down to pee. You're peeing up there. Or at least that would be my move if I was already up there that long.
Yeah, so when the day comes that you're dodging the police, we can look for that.
Yeah.
That'll be your strategy.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd do very good dodging, even if I tried. Jesse says, Amtrak doing one train in the morning for Mobile to New Orleans starting in June. Is this true? No, I think they're starting trains at opposite ends, one in New Orleans and one in Mobile. And they cross, and then they come back. So I think you'll get two trips per day out of both,
yes,
if I understand
I
it correctly, with those stops in Mississippi.
Yeah, and as far as June, I would write that down with a pencil, like everything else that's been Amtrak to this point. I didn't see any, you know, when I was down there for the boat show again, I was on the terrace overlooking the park that's kind of there. Renovating the Cooper Riverside Park, the wall and all of that, the seawall, and I didn't see any construction that told me, here comes Amtrak doing their thing that they're at the tracks.
Terry says they have sausage and bacon products in the gift shop that you can't find in grocery stores.
Oh, really?
And Scott says Conecuh retail store is obligated to stay open at present location due to some tax concessions it was given.
Okay.
The old sausage tax.
Well, think about that. So they were given concessions to open the store in the first place, and they're obligated to be. I don't think it's a big problem. I think that store probably does very well. But I haven't, if I have stopped there one time, I don't remember it, and I do not possess...
That's how good the sausage was.
Well, I don't remember... I do not possess a Kaneka sausage T-shirt, which certainly I would have bought if I was stopping there.
That's right. Yeah. Do they have, like, special sausage hats there you can
wear? I'm sure. Before they got all the anything you would find in a gift shop, a promotional shop, yeah.
Sausage-flavored soda, I don't know how far they go there. Jerry says, and that sounds like a Limp Bizkit album, too, by the way. Jerry says, Dalton, it really wasn't about, let's see. He says, the truth is that the city of Evergreen is the problem. Believe it or not, politics is the issue.
Oh, really?
That's crazy. He says, it's all about the price of electricity and the new Democratic mayor not negotiating a deal. The new plant will pay for itself in a few years because of this issue. That's disappointing. I imagine if politics is the root cause here, people aren't too happy with the mayor driving up that price.
He might not be up for a second term if he's driven the most historic business in the history of the city out of town.
Wow.
But I don't know that he has.
Yeah, I'm not. I
don't know.
I've been following Mobile and Baldwin County politics.
Yeah.
I haven't been able to keep up with the Evergreen
right.
politics.
I've been doing a terrible job at following politics in this area, so I don't want to expand my bad coverage.
8:51. I'll tell you coming up why I think Mike Waltz is a problem.
Okay.
And it's not the same reason others are saying.
Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings. Certainly they're family-owned, I guess, and run Mexican restaurants. You have a lot of people who are from South and Central America that work there. Hopefully they're legal and there's no problem because a lot of these places they do great business. They work as a team. They serve you well. The food is great. They're very, you know, so hopefully these are not... These are people who've got all their papers and they're good to stay. Not good to go, but good to stay.
And we're seeing that with a lot of people who, I hate to say it, talked a big game about what they want to see the president do for the country. And then when the chickens come home to roost, they start to feel differently about it. And
chicken fajitas come home to roost.
Well, yeah, once you see roundups in your community, you're like, I don't know. This just seems like, but if they're illegal... They're illegal. And, of course, you want to get rid of the violent gang members first, the people who are causing the real harm. But breaking the law is breaking the law. And the same thing I'm seeing kind of with the port here, right? And I don't know how the port voted or the members of the Port Authority or anything like that, but they're pushing back against these tariffs. And they're saying it's going to – and there's a lot of people that are in Mobile in our state. They're going to say, hey, wow, you're crushing us. Well – in order for the good of America, everyone's going to take a little hit for a time. Maybe not everyone. The people that are loudest about it are going to take the biggest hits.
Well, they could be taking the biggest hit. Like the Port of Mobile, the bigger you are, the more you got to lose, right? Mm-hmm. So they might be looking at this thing. What's got to do with China, correct?
The tax or the fines on Chinese-made ships. And so there's still some time to run out on that, whether Trump does... one thing or another, because it will take some time to get the U.S. shipbuilding industry back on its feet.
Mm-hmm.
And China is just dominating in that trade right now. But as far as Mike Waltz, and I agree with a lot of people who are saying, listen, don't bow to the left and especially the media on the left who are telling you to get rid of these guys and get rid of them now.
Well, Hegseth, they're skipping over Waltz and going to Hegseth, I think, because he's the bigger fish to fry, right?
Yeah.
He's the guy with Fox. He's in the cabinet. It would be more of a shot at Trump if Hegseth had to bow out.
And it's so ridiculous seeing some of these media companies who say, in any previous administration, this wouldn't stand. And all it takes is someone posting a picture of those Air Force cargo planes leaving Afghanistan with the Afghanis grabbing onto the wheel well so they'll have a chance at getting out, and how poorly that whole operation was ran, and who paid for that? No one. So that falls flat.
You're right. Nobody took the hit for that.
But through all of this, and you know, Mike Waltz, it is interesting they're skipping right over him to go after Hegseth when he's clearly the one who made this massive mistake.
It seems like he's been owning up to it.
And had Goldberg, he put together this chat. But there are some serious issues, I think, with Waltz, or potential issues, leaving aside the fact that Trump pulled him out of Congress, a tight Republican-led Congress, and now the Republican running in his place is like on the ropes in a place that went plus 30, Trump, in the last election.
Yeah, that's not good.
So you saw Trump send Stefanik back. And she got to keep her seat in Congress because she never gave it up, and she'll keep her. But Waltz, so even when he was selected here as this national security advisor, there were people saying, I don't know about that pick, because you've ran this entire campaign on not being a war hawk and not being a neocon. And then pretty much every candidate he chose for these different roles kind of fit that mold, from Vance to Hegseth to Tulsi.
Tulsi, yeah.
And Waltz was kind of an outlier. I mean, he was Cheney's counterterrorism advisor. He has, in the past, when you ask him his thoughts on things like the Iraq war or whatever, he seems to take more of the tact of the neocons than this new Trump push to keep us out of long-term wars, especially in the Middle East, which you see things ramping up right now. And then you have Waltz, who's the one who screws this up so terribly. And in my opinion, now they're going after people who I think are more important in those roles than he is. And I'm not saying that this was a plant or anything like that. I think that Waltz might have just accidentally. Some people are saying maybe he meant to invite another reporter, the Fox reporter Jennifer Griffin. I don't know. That's the only other JG I've seen anyone say that they might have meant to put on that.
I don't know. You know, you need to put any reporter on that.
No, of course not.
And then also, but think about this, Dalton. Some of the things that Waltz was going through way back when in Cheney's time, we were closer to 9/11. 9/11 happened under Bush Cheney. Mm-hmm. So are you talking about that era, that far back? It's just some of
and everyone, most people were, hell yeah, let's go get them. Let's go fight them.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of turning around and saying, a lot of people now saying that was all a big mistake.
Yeah, yeah.
But Waltz,
It didn't feel like it at the time. He was probably going along with the company line at that time, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, you're probably right. But just the vibe I get from him, I can't put it on it. It just almost seems like he's more out for himself. I can't say that for sure. Mm-hmm. It's just how I feel.
Jeff Ford's on the way next. FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings, back with you Monday morning starting at 6:00.